everybody. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to tonight's program. This first hour is sponsored by Cheryl, who writes, "Happy 50th birthday, Liz. There's no one in the world I'd rather listen to the Malloy program with. All my love, Cheryl." That's very nice, Cheryl. Thank you. Cheryl, our first our sponsor tonight. Besides the size of the crowd and media attention, how do you tell the difference between a 100-person teabagger rally and a 30,000-member worker demonstration? 3, 2, 1. The signs are spelled correctly in the 30,000-member worker demonstration. These dumb bastard teabaggers. Right? You know how stupid they are. Oh, my God. Yeah. Glenn Beck. Remember a couple of weeks ago we mentioned that Glenn Beck was going to Wilmington, Ohio to rescue everybody? Do you remember that? About 2 months ago. He was going to hold a... one of his famous circle jerks at a theater in Wilmington, Ohio, that has an unemployment rate up around stratospheric. And everybody was supposed to come out and listen to Glenn and watch him dance around in the hope that maybe he'd pull out his Glock 30 and, you know. But and he's going to donate the money. Do you remember that? A portion of the money. Remember that? So he took his radio show and his Fox Propaganda Network TV vomit to Wilmington and urged his followers to flock to the town to support local businesses. Oh, everybody come over here and buy stuff, right? His producers hoped 20,000 Beck droids would show up, but 2,000 did. Oh! According to Crooks and Liars, as is typical with Beck's incessant self-promotion, the journey to Wilmington seemed to be more about him than about the people. He kept telling us he was going to help. But at least Beck was going to shower the town's charities with donations from the money he made off his pricey ticket sales, right? Well, the Wilmington News Journal put it out there. Glenn Beck and his team of producers will donate $44,000 to five Clinton County organizations following Beck's December 2010 visit to the area. Beck earned $32 million last year. $44,000 to five Clinton County organizations. That'd be $8,000 apiece, huh? Now, remember what he charged? The great populist, the psychotic son of a bitch, Glenn Beck, charged $1,000 for two meet and greet tickets. Remember that? You want to come and meet the Messiah? $1,000, babies, $1,000. Plus, he had a $500 ticket price, too, plus a $32 service fee per ticket. The $500 package included breakfast at the General Denver Hotel, meet and greet with Glenn Beck, photo with Glenn Beck, premium ticket to the live Glenn Beck radio show broadcast at the Murphy Theater. Woohoo! Now, remember, the Rupert Murdoch We Hate America terrorist broadcast organization continues to tell us that this psychopathic bastard is a populist. And by the way, regular non-meet-and-greet tickets to attend the taping of Beck's radio show were on sale for $125. Typically, tickets for fans to attend live taping of radio or television shows are free. But Beck charged $125 per person to watch him broadcast his radio show. You phony bastard, you. You phony punk. How much longer until people strip the skin off your bones and eat you, Beck? Huh? How much longer? Let me see here. boy, this Madison, Wisconsin thing. On Wisconsin, God, I just, I hope this keeps going. I hope they never give up. We're going to get to that tonight. But I have something here from Prairie, too, about pigs. Pigs. Initial unemployment claims jump back up over 400,000 for last week. This is getting to be a tired old song. The number will need to be under 275,000 to indicate new jobs are being created. The continued high number doesn't indicate we're losing jobs, but it reflects the continued decline in wages as workers are replaced with people working at ever lower wages. Federal Reserve is upping its prediction of growth for 2012 to somewhere between 3.5% to 3.9%. I'm predicting the pigs will fly. The Fed is buying out the rich who were invested heavily in 30-year treasury bonds to the tune of $1 trillion. The rich are in turn buying into hedge funds that put money into anything and everything but creating jobs, and the interest rates that were supposed to come down are going up on inflation fears. Woo-woo! The Fed is predicting unemployment to remain high, but to start coming down slowly. I predict supersonic flying pigs. Not only is nothing meaningful being done to create jobs, but the extra trillion the hedge funds now have to play with is driving up consumer prices, which hobbles what little economy we have left. Besides, no trade policy and no manufacturing policy. Obama has no problem with pay freezes, despite the consumer price index rising sharply, which makes the price freezes, or the pay freezes, I should, which makes the pay freezes into pay cuts. This is, of course, exactly the wrong thing to do to head off a depression. What the hell was that? With no trade policy, any growth in the economy is reflected in a burgeoning trade deficit. Even no growth or decline in economic activity, there will still be an ever bigger trade deficit as factories continue to close. The latest count is 50,000 just since the year 2000. Obama says everything will be okay if we just become more competitive and have more free trade deals. The Republicans say everything will be okay if we just cut taxes and stop regulating business and do away with any government spending that doesn't, you know, benefit the rich. I say everything will be okay in the spring when the pigs come back north. They are beautiful, flying in a graceful V formation, their oink calls echoing across the prairie. PrairieNumeral2.com. Is he being kind of a smartass there at the end, Kathy? Pigs don't fly. Pigs don't fly. Come on, Prairie 2. My goodness. And I have a missive from Kay Petrini, our education affairs correspondent here that I'll share with you when we come back. What else we got tonight? Curveball. We told you about Curveball, the little rat bastard butt buddy of Dick Cheney's, who lied this country into a war, assisted Cheney and Rumsfeld and Bush and the rest of these fascist bastards. He could face jail. Talk about that. Huckabee has something very interesting to say about the illegal Israeli settlements. South Dakota decides not to pass that bill that would allow people to murder physicians. And then we're going to talk about Wisconsin. On Wisconsin, on Wisconsin, da 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 da. So we have miles to go before we sleep here. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
News, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, Kate Petrini writes, Mike, after watching the coverage of the Madison protest last night, I suppose it was only natural for me to wake up this morning thinking about this song. Look for the union label when you are buying that coat, dress, or blouse. Remember, somewhere our union's sewing, our wages going to feed the kids and run the house. We work hard, but who's complaining? Thanks to the ILG, we're paying our way. So always look for the union label. It says we're made. We're able to make it in the USA. Is that the International Ladies Garment Workers Union, ILG? Anyway, Kay writes, all week long you've been asking, what will it take for young people to wake up? I've been thinking about this a lot, and I'm pretty sure that at least part of the answer lies in my familiarity with the above referenced song. Unfortunately, most members of the younger generation have never heard a positive union message. What a difference 30 years make. When I started high school in 1979, I knew what a union was. And it wasn't just because of the International Longshoremen's and Warehouse Union commercials, which we often imitated by singing and marching around the schoolyard. No, it was because at that time, San Francisco was a solidly middle and working class city. You see, most of the kids I attended school with had dads who were cops, firefighters, machinists, tile layers, bricklayers, etc., and all of them were members of a union. So when we learned about the history of the unions, we understood their importance because most of us were living out what they had accomplished for the average American worker. Fast forward 30 years from Reagan's breaking of PATCO in 1981. When I introduced the topic of unions by asking my students what they know about the subject, only a few hands go up, and those hands almost always belong to the children of nurses, school teachers, cops, or firefighters. The other students have either had no exposure to the issue or have bought into the post-Reagan view of labor. In other words, that the unions, as opposed to the corporatists, are to blame for the budget deficit, political corruption, and even the loss of their own industries. In my opinion, this is what lies at the heart of the indifference and even outright disdain directed toward the average American worker from average American workers. An entire generation has grown up hearing and believing the garbage you talked about on last night's show, the I'm going to be a millionaire someday too and don't want to be taxed nonsense. Sadly, the kids have no concept of what a solidly middle-class life entails. Either their families are struggling to make ends meet, or far less likely, they are among the privileged few who remain untouched by the destructive labor policies that have flourished in our nation over the past 30 years. The younger generation doesn't know any different. And that's exactly the way their corporate overlords want it. Kay. You can read what Kay has to say. Go to her website, kaysreportcard.com. kaysreportcard.com. Yeah, I've said it before. Like Kay, even though I'm considerably older than Kay, when I was in elementary school. Was it elementary school? I guess it was, the later grades, maybe 6th, 7th, and 8th. That was considered elementary school back in the day. We learned about the union movement, only we learned it in a very positive way. I still, how else would I know the name Samuel Gompers if I hadn't learned it in, 7th, 8th grade? How else would I have learned the name John L. Lewis? How else would I have learned any of these about the AFL-CIO? How would I have known about Walter Reuther? You understand? But corporate America that dictates depending on the school system, either more or less, dictates what the school system is going to teach. Corporate America decided, none of that crap. No. Samuel Gompers, just some Jew immigrant, right? John L. Lewis, some Irish Catholic punk. Right? Oh, by the way, this hour is sponsored by, Cheryl. Cheryl writes, happy 50th birthday, Liz. There's no one in the world I'd rather listen to the Malloy program with. All my love, Cheryl. Thanks, Cheryl. So, Liz, I hope you're listening. Right, we have a break coming here rather quickly. Oh, yeah, a German politician has warned that the CIA informant Curveball, that sick bastard who was the person who worked with Dick Cheney and George Bush and the rest of the neocon liars and America killers to lead us into the war in Iraq, the invasion and occupation of Iraq. A German politician has warned that the CIA informant Curveball could go to jail after telling The Guardian of the UK that he lied about Saddam Hussein's bioweapons capability in order to, quote, liberate Iraq. Remember, we talked about this last night. Rafid Ahmed Alwan al-Janabi, who was given the name Curveball by his U.S. and German handlers, told the German Secret Service that Iraq had a secret biological weapons program. And then, of course, the German Secret Service passed it on to the thugs and the liars and the crap artists in the CIA, our glorious, wonderful, murderous, torturing, fascist CIA. And you know what happened then. Stick around. We'll talk about this a little bit more when we come back. Before the hour, and thanks again to Cheryl, who's sponsoring this hour. Happy 50th birthday, Liz, she writes. There's no one in the world I'd rather listen to the Malloy program with. Thanks, Cheryl. Oh, yeah, Al Shanker. Don't forget Al Shanker. Anybody know who Al Shanker is? I know you do. I know there are. Anyway, back to Curveball. Curveball. Curveball made up all this. I realize this is so old and useless information, but there's a reason that I'm bringing it up. Curveball made up all these lies about Saddam Hussein because now he says he wanted to bring truth, justice, and apple pie to, or I don't know, the Iraqi equivalent, whatever the hell it is, to Iraq. So he made up all this stuff and passed it to the German Secret Service, who then passed it to the CIA, who then gave it to Dick Cheney, who then gave it to Stupid Boy. And Stupid Boy said, well, God told me to invade. No, it wasn't God. That was Dick Cheney coming in your bedroom at night, you half-wit. Anyway, a German member of parliament, Hans Christian Strobel, said Curveball had arguably violated a German law which makes warmongering illegal. Warmongering. This member of parliament, he's a member of the Green Party, he added that Gerhard Schroeder, German chancellor around the time of the Second Iraq War, also should reveal what he knew about the quality of evidence Curveball gave to Germany's Secret Service, the BND. So, if Curveball can be put on trial, how about this vampiric son of a bitch, Dick Cheney? You know, Dick Cheney is about to die. I think that's very clear, unless there's an American out there. One of you teabaggers. I'll tell you what, how about that scum-sucking Breitbart? Hey, Breitbart, why don't you donate your heart to Dick Cheney? He needs a heart. Huh? How about that piece of human waste, Breitbart? Or no, better yet, how about you, Beck? Come on, one of you right-wing scumsuckers, give it up. Dick Cheney needs a heart, boys. Dick Cheney's going to die. He's going to die very soon. And I'll tell you what, I hope before he does die, I hope somebody nails him. I hope he dies in a prison cell waiting to be put on trial for war crimes. Maybe like some of the German high command, he'll have one of those little cyanide caps with him. What do you think? Huh? You think you could do that for us, Dick? I can't think of very many other people on Earth that deserves a public trial and public hanging than Dick Cheney, a mass killer. A mass killer who is going to get away with it. He really is. He's going to get away with it. Huckabee, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, who may or may not run in the 2012 presidential primaries. He was in Israel this past week. He attended the ceremony for the opening of a new illegal Israeli settlement in the occupied West Bank. It's illegal. It shouldn't be there. But there's Huckabee, this Christian fundamentalist freak, hanging out with the Jews, the Orthodox conservative Jews, waiting for a chance to slit all their throats when they don't give it up to Jesus. When his Messiah returns, there he is in the West Bank. At the ceremony of the opening of this new Israeli illegal settlement, Huckabee called it, quote, inconceivable in many ways that we would have to even argue and debate about whether settlements are wise or legal. And then Huckabee took his radical stance much further, repeating his call for Palestinians to get the hell out of Israel. Get out! And telling Israel Today magazine that anyone who opposes the construction of illegal Israeli settlements on Palestinian land is, get this, guilty of racism and apartheid. So let me get this right. This filthy pig, Mike Huckabee, this Christian fundamentalist jerk, has the audacity to say that people who invaded the Palestinians' land, in the mind of the Palestinians, that is exactly what happened. They invaded. And now that they're there, if anyone resists the building of the illegal settlements, they are guilty of racism and apartheid. You talk about turning the language up, damn side down. Huckabee, you are a freak. You are an absolute freak. And then he said this, quote, I think there probably should be a Palestinian state, but it doesn't necessarily have to be on the tiny postage stamp size piece of land that is Israel. I'm not against a Palestinian state. I am against, and not really against, but I'm just being realistic. I don't see how it works to put two people and two governments right on top of each other. Huckabee went on to blast the Arab position, which has been adopted by the rest of the world, that the Jews must stop building in Judea and Samaria, lands claimed by the Palestinians, in order for peace to be achieved. Huckabee said, quote, to tell Jewish people you cannot live here, you cannot raise your children here, this is the true racism. This is apartheid. I cannot imagine, as an American, being told that I could not live in certain places in America because I was a Christian, or because I was white, or because I spoke English, end quote. You stupid son of a bitch. Are you that stupid? Are you that degenerately stupid? You can be told where you can't live in America, Huckabee, if you're black. Or if you speak Spanish, or if you're a Muslim, you ignorant, evil old man, you. You ignorant piece of white trash. Okay, let me calm down. Just can't believe these people. Can't believe him. Mike Huckabee. Isn't he a fundamentalist of some stripe preacher? Huh? Doesn't he tell you that if you don't believe his way, you're going to burn in hell for all of eternity while snakes, scorpions, and spiders devour you? Huh? Doesn't he tell you that? Isn't he waiting with a sharp knife to start slitting the throats of Jews if they don't accept Jesus when Jesus comes sliding down that huge pile of corpses all the way stacked up to heaven that Huckabee is waiting for and praying for? Huh? and he wants to be president of the United States. Dear God. Armed madhouse indeed. A bill in the state of South Dakota to designed to extend the definition of justifiable homicide to include killing doctors was postponed indefinitely yesterday after an uproar. An uproar. Do you like that word? After an uproar over whether the legislation would put abortion providers at greater risk. The House Speaker, Val Rausch, said that the legislation had been shelved pending a decision on whether to allow a vote, amend the language, or drop it entirely. A spokesman for Governor Dennis Daugaard said, quote, clearly the bill, as it's currently written, is a very bad idea, end quote. The bill was approved by the South Dakota House Judiciary Committee last week on a 9-3 party line vote, in establishing in part the justifiability of murdering a physician who would treat a female, pregnant female patient as per the doctor and the patient's desires. This is it's madness, isn't it?
That's another one. That's another one into the trash.
Wisconsin, a group of Democratic Wisconsin lawmakers blocked passage of a sweeping anti-union bill Thursday, refusing to show up for the vote. That's the way to do it. Just don't go into that nest of scum. Stay out of the state house in Madison as long as it's occupied by psychopaths. Who in the hell would want to go in there? Oh, and by the way, an ever-growing throng of protesters filled the Capitol for a third day. The 14 Democrats cut out around noon, just as the Senate was about to begin debating the measure, which would eliminate collective bargaining for public employees. Way to go, boys. It's about time. It's about time Democrats started showing a little bit of spine. You know, as you're walking out the door, give the Republicans a middle finger. Just get out of there. They're insane. Why would you want to hang out in there?
Yourself with the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
Wisconsin. Wisconsin's hold 19. Republicans hold 19 seats in the 33-member Senate, but they are one vote short of the number needed to conduct business without Democrats. So. You know, the idea of the Democrats just saying, you know, go pound sand up your collective asses, we're out of here, is wonderful. It's just great. What else are you going to do with these thugs? So I certainly applaud the Democrats. Finally, some Democrats somewhere in a state legislature are starting to demonstrate their the power, their collective power. The Cap Times in Madison says that Scott Walker, the governor, is not making tough choices. He's making political choices, where it concerns trying to balance the budget in Wisconsin. And he said the choices are designed not to balance budgets, but to improve his political position and that of his party. The Cap Times says it is for this reason that the governor claims Wisconsin is in such deep financial troubles that Wisconsinites should view this as a crisis moment. In fact, just like about every other state in the country, Wisconsin is managing in a weak economy. The difference is that Wisconsin is managing better, or at least it had been managing better until Walker took over. Despite shortfalls in revenue following the economic downturn that hit its peak with the Bush era stock market collapse, the state has balanced budgets, maintained basic services and high quality schools, and kept employment and business developments steadier than the rest of the country. It has managed so well, in fact, that the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau recently released a memo detailing how the state will end the 2009 to 2011 budget biennium with a budget surplus. You see how Republicans lie. How many times have I said that? They are goddamn cowards. They are filthy liars. Every single Republican, every single conservative is a lying, sneaking coward, including this punk Scott Walker. In its January 31st memo to legislators on the condition of the state's budget, the Fiscal Bureau determined that the state will end the year with a balance of $121 million. To the extent that there is an imbalance, Governor, quote, Walker claims there's a $137 million deficit. It is not because of a drop in revenues or increases in the cost of state employee contracts, benefits, or pensions. It is because Walker and his allies pushed through $140 million in new spending for special interest groups in January. If the legislature in Wisconsin were simply to rescind the governor's new spending schemes, the crisis would not exist. Do you understand that? I hope that the unionized workers that are demonstrating in in Madison, Wisconsin, don't give up. Don't give up. My God, don't give up. The Fiscal Bureau memo makes it clear that Walker did not inherit a budget that required one of his phony ass, what does he call it? A budget repair bill. You lying piece of trash. Wisconsin has lower unemployment than most states. Wisconsin has better prospects for maintaining great schools, great public services, and a great quality of life than most states. Unfortunately, Walker has a political agenda that relies on the fantasy that Wisconsin is teetering on the brink of bankruptcy. Walker is not interested in balanced budgets, efficient government, or meaningful job creation. Walker is interested in gaming the system to benefit his political allies and campaign contributors. To that end, he has proposed a $137 million budget repair bill that he intends to use as a vehicle to, one, undermine the long-established collective bargaining rights of public employees, two, pay for schemes that redirect state tax dollars to wealthy individuals and corporate interests that have been sources of campaign funding. You know, Walker is like Bush and Cheney. Bush and Cheney were absolute goddamn traitors to the United States. They turned us into a torture state where it was official policy. We've been torturing since the early 1900s, but they turned it into official policy. Bush and Cheney didn't serve this country. They raped it. And that's what Walker is doing to Wisconsin. Jesus, God. I know what I'd like to do to Republicans. Oh, do I know what I like to do? Oh, my God! Put him in the same swimming pool as Andrew Breitbart and then drop in a live 15-million-volt wire. Hey, Cheryl, thanks for sponsoring this past hour. Cheryl writes, happy birthday, 50th birthday. Ooh, I remember that. Happy 50th birthday, Liz. There's no one in the world I'd rather listen to the Malloy program with. All my love, Cheryl. Thanks, Cheryl. Yeah, crowd them all into this great big swimming pool. Have to be a big one. Stinky America-hating punks. And then drop in that live 10 million volt wire. Ow! We'll be back. Stick around. If you dare, I'm Mike Malloy. Sponsored by Miami Dave and Random Rogue. Miami Dave and Random Rogue. To Mike and Kathy, thank you both for being one of the few voices that really understand the struggles and frustrations that rational, not superstitious or conservative, that rational people experience daily. Your show is needed now more than ever. We both are proud to give you our support. Miami Dave and Random Rogue. Thanks, both of you. Thank you very much. I really, really do appreciate the sponsorship. Thank you. Miami Dave and Random Rogue bring you this hour. And if you want to keep the program on the air, I know a lot of people don't, but if you want to, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you 25 cents a program. That's all it is. That's why it's a two-bit radio show. But you got to do this. I'm serious. I know. Hey, listen. Everybody's having financial troubles right now. So are we. Everybody is. But we need your podcast subscription. It's $59.60 a year. It's a quarter a show. Either you do it and this program stays on the air, or don't do it and this program disappears. I'm sorry. It's that simple. I'm not going to make a big pitch for podcast subscribers, but that's the way it is. 25 cents a program. If it's worth it to you, go to MikeMalloy.com, sign up to be a podcast subscriber. If it's not worth it to you, don't do anything. I'm not trying to be a hard ass here. I'm not very good at asking for money. That's why I never made it to the Georgia General Assembly. I could not ask for campaign contributions. Couldn't do it. But as far as this program is concerned, we are getting closer and closer and closer and closer to the edge. If you want to keep it on the air, it's going to cost you a quarter a program. We need about 3,000 subscribers. That's what we need, 3,000 people, for Christ's sake. So it's up to you. That's all. Michael in Roswell. Let's face it, if Jews were smaller and furrier, Mike Huckabee would have no problem with shooting, skinning, and deep frying them. If you want to see what Huckabee and his followers really think what Israel is for, just have a gander at the documentary Waiting for Armageddon. It's hilarious, in a way. The Israelis are happy for the Christian evangelical support because they know that the rapture and the tribulation are never going to happen. And American Christians will happily defend the Israelis and their various usurpations because they're equally sure that such will inevitably lead, the Christians are, that such will inevitably lead to the rapture and the tribulation. Who are the big beneficiaries of that? No, Michael and Roswell, that cracks me up. It always has. Ever since I came to fully understand how sick, I mean really mentally unbalanced, fundamental religious people are. I don't care if they're Jew, Christian, or Muslim. I don't give a goddamn. Fundamental religious people are nuts. They're wacko. Completely. Now, somebody that believes in the spiritual aspect of the human being, oh, okay, fine. Somebody believes in the goodness and nature of love. Somebody that listens to Jesus or Muhammad who among the Jews preached love and peace and turned the other cheek? They were pretty much kill, 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 weren't they? I don't know. I'm sure there were some philosophers, maybe not back. Well, there was Solomon. You know, he was all about boinking as many women as he could. There was David, who didn't have any problem with homosexuality. But anyway, the clear understanding that I have, I don't know what your understanding is, that's up to you, but the clear understanding that I have, that the fundamentalist Christians love the Jews for a very simple reason. The Jews will be, that's their canary in the mine. Once the Jews in Israel get involved in the Great War, the Tribulation, Gog and Magog, all that crazy crap, then the fundamentalist Christians will know that the time has come. And then, of course, like during the Inquisition, the Spanish Inquisition, when Torquemada made it very clear to the Muslims and the Jews, convert, or I'm going to cut your goddamn head off. You got 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2. All right, all right! Why am I talking about this? Huckabee is just a freak bastard, just out of his mind. Veterans are demanding, Veterans for Peace are demanding an apology from the warmongering neo-fascist Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. You remember I told you about this last night? Okay, let's go through it one more time. George Washington University in Washington, D.C., just minutes after Secretary Clinton began a speech lauding freedom of the Internet, two security personnel forcefully removed an audience member wearing a Veterans for Peace t-shirt who had silently stood and turned his back to her. Ray McGovern, a 71-year-old veteran, former CIA analyst, was violently grabbed and forcibly removed from the auditorium in direct view of Mrs. Clinton. According to Mara Hilliard, attorney for the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund, quote, for this peaceful expression of dissent, he ended up bruised, bloodied, arrested, and jailed. Secretary Clinton never paused, continuing her speech, lecturing other countries about the need to allow freedom of expression and dissent, while Ray McGovern was hauled out in front of her, end quote. You know, this is the amazing ability that fascists have. Whether it's Dick Cheney or Hillary Clinton, I couldn't care less. But the hypocrisy of these people, Hillary Clinton standing there talking about, well, you know, the government of Bahrain and the government of, well, no, no, not saying anything about Bahrain because that's where we have a whole bunch of military hardware. Government of Iran and this one and that one. They got, and how about those damn Egyptians, huh? I'm cutting down the internet. Oh, damn. You hypocritical thugs. Ray McGovern was released. He's covered with bruises. The metal handcuffs were fastened so tightly that his wrists were cut and bloody. This is a veteran. This is a military veteran. This is a former soldier. Eh? Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton know as much about the military as I know about quantum physics on a gnat's ass, which is to say nothing. After being held by local police, he was told that he was being charged with disorderly conduct. Before he died, Norman Mailer, after 9/11, Norman Mailer saw a pre-fascist climate developing in America. And as Ray McGovern says, if we don't stand up for our rights, it may not be long before we have to drop the pre. Well, yeah, Ray. Absolutely. All right, when we come back after this break, statement from Ray McGovern. Hillary Clinton, huh? Yeah, we'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. And again, this hour is sponsored by Miami Dave and Random Rogue. Sounds like a rock group. Miami Dave and Random Rogue. To Mike and Kathy, thank you both for being one of the few voices that really understand the struggles and frustrations that rational people experience daily, not superstitious or conservative people. Your show is needed now more than ever. We both are proud to give you our support. Thank you. Appreciate it. Ray McGovern. Veterans for Peace asked for a quick statement after his release from jail for turning his back on the fascist Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. He wrote the following, quote, I find myself wondering if this show of brutality may be a signpost on a path to even wider and more brutal repression. I've been comparing what happened during Clinton's speech Tuesday with my four-minute mini-debate with Donald Rumsfeld on May 4th, 2006 in Atlanta. Halfway through, Rumsfeld gives the nod to a black-hatted security fellow to elbow me away from the microphone. I shout, "So this is America!" Rumsfeld takes one look at the TV cameras streaming live, makes a snap decision, and tells the security fellow to let me stay. During that same speech in Atlanta, one fearless witness stands dead center in the audience with his back to Rumsfeld for the entire speech and is not bothered, much less beaten and jailed. The contrast between my experience of May 2006 and February 2011 can be viewed through the prism of the proverbial boiling frog. There does seem to be a subtle but successful campaign to get people gradually accustomed to increasingly repressive measures, and many, perhaps most, Americans seem oblivious. End of quote from Ray McGovern, Veterans for Peace. Is proud of our member Ray McGovern, whose simple, dignified action speaks volumes about the power of nonviolence. We abhor the actions of the security personnel who reacted violently and in flagrant violation of Mr. McGovern's First Amendment rights. We also deplore the indifference of Secretary Clinton, who didn't bat an eye, and we demand that she apologize for her silence and hypocrisy. Most importantly, we call on the American public to wake up to the dark reality of what this country has become, a place where civil liberties and freedom of expression are becoming increasingly endangered, and the government's response to every situation is intimidation and force. You got a pencil? You want to tell Hillary Clinton what you think of her behavior? You got a pencil? I got a phone number for you. You got a pencil? One other thing that Ray McGovern said, he talked with Rob Call at Op-Ed News. Ray McGovern said, quote, "Hillary is the driving force, together with a few others, behind the wars in Afghanistan. She's one of the big hawks in Iran. When I look at her and her husband, that they don't know the first thing about war, I do, and so do my fellow Veterans for Peace. I have to make clear that we Veterans for Peace think that her policies are an abomination to the nation, that they are at cross purposes to the country, and not everybody should applaud and give her the idea that she's doing the right thing." You got a pencil? Okay. Here's the phone number. You can tell Hillary Clinton what you think of her indifference to Ray McGovern. And you little right-wing turds out there, you little you little armchair bat guano hunks, look it up. You can use this phone number to call her up and say what a wonderful woman she is. This puts the right-wingers in a hell of a position, doesn't it, you dumbasses? Here's the phone number, 202-647-4000. 202-647-4000. Tell Hillary Clinton what you think of her behavior. Yeah, Hillary Clinton is a warmonger. She is as bad as Dick Cheney where it concerns wars of opportunity. Is there a more obscene term than that one, wars of opportunity? Isn't that what Hitler saw in Poland in 1939, a war of opportunity? You want to tell Hillary what you think of her behavior when Ray McGovern was a veteran, was jerked into jail, bruised? You can look at these pictures. You can go to Op-Ed News, I guess. They're all over the place. Go to davidswanson.org. I'm sure they're up at tvnewslies.org. They're all over the place. But if you want to tell Hillary what you think, here's her phone number, 202-647-4000. We'll be back.
It belongs to me.
lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Oh, yes. 25 before the hour.
Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall.
This hour is sponsored by Miami Dave and Random Rogue. Miami Dave and Random Rogue. They sponsor the hour and send me a note to Mike and Kathy. Thank you both for being one of the few voices that really understand the struggles and frustrations that rational, not superstitious or conservative, rational people experience daily. Your show is needed now more than ever. We both are proud to give you our support. Thank you. Appreciate it. Very, very much. Coming up third hour, do you remember the BP oil spill? Did you remember that? Guess what's happening down there? Well, I shouldn't say down there. Hell, it's just over the hill and from here. But today, the administrator of that $20 billion fund for the Gulf oil spill victims, Kenneth Feinberg, he is under fire for red tape and delays, and he's been told by BP that his formula for determining final payments is actually too generous. Remember the commercials? We'll be here until everybody's taken care of. Oh, yeah, you rancid bastards. You know, the people in Alaska, well, some of them anyway, are still waiting for Exxon to take care of the disaster they caused up there 20 years ago. 15 years ago. A document purporting to be from a major business was posted on the Gulf Coast Claims Facilities website. The name of the business and other identifying references were removed, but a spokeswoman for the fund for the Gulf oil spill victims confirmed the comments were written by BP. The document said Kenneth Feinberg's methodology artificially inflates future expected losses for victims of the spill. Over the last 2 weeks, hundreds of Gulf residents and businesses have filed comments with the claims facility. Many have accused Kenneth Feinberg of moving too slowly and making payments. Others say the payments have been too small. And many complain that the methodology Feinberg has proposed for final payments lowballs the future impact on the spill victims. Representative Edward Markey of Massachusetts, ranking Democrat on the House Committee on Natural Resources, blasted BP for making the comments. Markey said, quote, BP made errors in judgment that led to this oil spill, and now they've made another error in judgment by going after the very people their spill harmed. Well, Congressman Markey, it's not an error in judgment. It is a deliberate, calculated response. The people of, we're going to talk about this in depth next hour, because I'm telling you, you and I don't know what's going on down there. But Dar Jamail and Erica Blumenfeld do, and they have put together a report, and we're going to talk about that report. Not with them. You know I don't do guests on this program, but we're going to talk about what they've discovered. But there's no subterfuge here. There's no duplicity here. BP never had any intention of taking care of the situation, of cleaning up their filth. No more so than, who was it in Ecuador? We may get to that tomorrow. Where is it? Chevron. Chevron has been told by an Ecuadorian court that they have to pay $8.6 billion for the damage they did there. And, of course, Chevron is telling the Ecuadorian court to go pound sand up its collective Mayan ass. They don't care. Okay, not Mayan, but you know, that's how Chevron looks at it. So we're going to talk about that next hour, the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Have you got that sound from Bahrain? Have you got that handy? I want to play this for you. We're taking it way out of context. This is Miguel Marquez, who was covering the riots, the upheaval, the demands for justice. Four dead, hundreds injured. The royal family of Bahrain, the ones that the United States government does business with, are Sunni. The people are Shiite. I want you to hear Miguel Marquez trying to report on what was going on in Bahrain yesterday. Go ahead, run it.
Welcome to Ford.
No, that's not it. Okay, it's got an advertisement on it? Okay, well, don't let the advertise. Oh, we're taking it right off the web. Okay, well, all right, well, okay, just go ahead and let it. Do we have time? Yeah, we have time. As soon as the commercial's over, bring up the sound, okay? This is Miguel Marquez, ABC News correspondent, in Pearl Square, Bahrain's capital.
It's after 3 o'clock in the morning here at Pearl Square. The military has just come alongside a highway right next to the main square here in town and is firing tons of tear gas into the square, clearing about 2,000 or 3,000 protesters out. Now there are whole gangs of police officers moving in a line to clear the square forcefully. Clearly, the military doesn't take any more. The protesters are now starting to move back toward the military, and they are in a complete fight right on the street. Oh, there was a canister that looked like of. Now a police officer is chasing me. No! Press, media.
Badly by a gang of thugs. I'm now in a marketplace near our hotel where people are cowering in buildings. I mean, these people are not screwing around. They are going to clear that square tonight ahead of any protests on Friday. The government clearly does not want this to get any bigger. If Bahrain goes, there are fears that Saudi Arabia could face greater problems.
All right.
The regime here is really laying down.
All right,
the
that's
line.
It. That's enough. Miguel Marquez was attacked and had the living hell beaten out of him. He says by a gang of thugs at 3 a.m. This morning, the Bahrain army moved in. There were thousands of protesters who had peacefully camped out at night, and at the beginning of that sound clip, you hear Marquez talking about it's 3 a.m., and here comes the military. Now, keep in mind that U.S. 6th Fleet, based in Bahrain. We support Bahrain. We love Bahrain. We will do anything to keep the royal family that, by the way, has ruled Bahrain for, I think, 200 years, the same royal family. They are Sunnis, which are the upper classes, kind of like here in this country, the capitalists. The people are Shia and are treated like dogs. I just thought you might want to hear what happened to Miguel Marquez. This is the latest attack on a foreign journalist reporting on this growing unrest in the Middle East and North Africa. All right, we have a break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, it's sickening fun. And I hate to use that word. I can't think of a different one, though. To watch the U.S. government, I don't care who's in charge right now. Right now, it's a couple of phony Democrats, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. But to watch them spin and curl and ripple around and try to at once support, they support the revolution in Egypt, but the one in Bahrain? Oh, well, not quite so sure about that, huh? Why not? Because Fifth Fleet. I said Sixth Fleet. Thanks for the correction, everybody. Fifth Fleet, U.S. Fifth Fleet is based there in Bahrain. And, you know, the Fifth Fleet is the one that's going to back up the Israelis when they start throwing the bunker buster bombs at Iran. And we will have nuclear-tipped missiles on our submarines there to make sure that if somebody wants to feel froggy, we will jump. But the oppression and the suppression of people in Bahrain is not unlike the oppression and suppression of Arab people all over North Africa. And the Middle East, Muslim people, whether it is suppression by Syria or Israel or Kuwait. I can't wait for Kuwait to explode. What's Kuwait waiting for? But to watch our estimable Secretary of State do this dance. Okay, there's riots, there's revolutions in all these countries. Which ones do we support and why? Hey, phony bastards. We'll support that one. Those people have had enough oppression, but we can't support that one. They've had enough oppression too, but goddammit, we have a major military base there. Wait till it starts in Saudi Arabia. I want to thank again Miami Dave and Random Rogue for sponsoring this past hour. Thank you both. Alice writes, Mike, I attended the protest here in Madison yesterday at noon and this evening. Both were peaceful and inspiring. No metal detectors needed. Madison public schools were closed both days because a large number of teachers called in sick. Many high school students who could have spent Wednesday doing anything chose to march to the Capitol and show their support for teachers and other public employees. Yes! Today, additional schools were forced to close because of work actions. Those were not just schools in the Madison area, but also in Racine, which is in the southeast, La Crosse, West Central, and Eau Claire, northwest part of the state. Firefighters, whose union was not targeted by Governor Walker, have attended the rallies en masse to show their solidarity. Overall, the numbers of participants are increasing every day. One sign said, screw with us and we multiply. Today's fantastic actions by the state's Democratic senators has sparked a little hope. No matter what happens with the budget repair bill, quote, quote, Republicans may come to regret their actions. We have a state Supreme Court election here in April that will give us the opportunity to oust a right-wing activist. I'm hoping that these protests will inspire union members to stay involved and restore Wisconsin's progressive tradition. Anyone in the Madison area is welcome to join us. My favorite sign at tonight's rally was, "Unions, the people who brought you weekends." Thanks for everything you do. Oh, we don't do that much, Alice. P.S. I did not know about the Mike 92.1 schedule change affecting your show until Tuesday night. I emailed the station requesting they leave the schedule as is, but I haven't yet received a response. Alice in Madison. And you probably won't, Alice. That's not the way radio stations work. They do not respond. Very seldom. Let me just put a little qualifier on that. Very seldom do radio stations respond to their listeners. Radio stations are not in the business to attract listeners. They're in the business to attract advertisers. In some instances, the listeners are used as bait, the number of listeners. But don't ever believe the radio station is there to inform people or even to entertain people. That is a secondary consideration. A radio station is in business to attract advertisers and to make money. Period. Exclamation point. Next hour. The title of next hour is the title of Dara Jamail and Erica Blumenfield's Truth Out report. We're poisoned. We're sick. We're poisoned. We're sick. Do you remember the BP? Do you remember the video? Everybody had the video. Remember the video? That black stuff was gushing up out of... Remember? When was that? Oh, my goodness. That must have been 10 million news cycles ago. Did that ever happen? Nah, that didn't happen. If you look at the commercials from Haley Barbour's Racist Mississippi, you see all kinds of white people cavorting in the sand and having a great day. Hey, come on down. You remember? BP, eruption, volcano of oil. You remember those pictures? Come on, come on. Try real hard. It's almost impossible, isn't it? All right, that's what we're going to talk about next hour. And remember, today, BP said the oil spill claims formula is way too generous for these dumb cracker redneck fisher people down there in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama. What the hell's wrong with them people? Christ, we already gave them $2,000. What do they want, right? All right, stick around. Miami Dave and Random Rogue, thanks a lot. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Still with me? Pretty weird stuff. Pretty weird stuff indeed. One more story that I want to get into this evening that it seems like, I don't know, so last year. Was it last year? The year before? Was it 5 years ago? The Gulf of Mexico oil eruption. Remember that? BP? Remember that video? Doesn't that seem like a long time ago? Guess what? Residents who live along the coast from Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana, all the way into western Florida, talked with Erica Blumenfeld and Dar Jamail at Truthout about what is happening to them, residents of the Gulf Coast. The symptoms they're developing that they attribute to the continuing exposure to the toxic chemical still being released from BP's crude oil. And remember Corexit? Remember the dispersants? Remember that stuff, Corexit, that BP sprayed over the ocean, the Gulf of Mexico, in the dead of night? Remember that? At truthout.org, Dar Jamail and Erica Blumenfeld, or Blumenfeld, have put together a fairly brief and coherent report here. And they talked with some of the people, some of the residents in the area. Shirley Tillman from Pass Christian, Mississippi, is one of the people they spoke with. She is a former BP oil cleanup worker, hired by BP to clean up BP's mess, remember? And she wrote to the authors of this report at Truthout. She wrote, part of what she wrote is this, quote, "You can't even go to the store without seeing sick people. You can hear them talking to people, and they think they had the flu or a virus. I saw a girl that works at a local store yesterday and had to leave work because she was so sick. Others throughout the entire shore were hacking and coughing. It's crazy that this has been allowed to happen to all of us," end quote. Now, oil continues to wash ashore down there on those formerly pristine beaches of the Mississippi Gulf Coast, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida Panhandle, Louisiana. The oil that was already there as a result of the spill, according to Dar and Erica, is being uncovered by the weather. All the storms, all the wind, you know, the tar balls and the mats of tar, it's being covered up by the sand. It's being uncovered. As they write, from the fragile barrier islands of Mississippi, four of the fragile barrier islands in Mississippi have had 4 million pounds of oil removed thus far. The embattled coastline never gets a break. However, BP cleanup crews, who returned to work the first week of January after an 11-day break, removed another 11,000 pounds of oil from Petit Bois Island last Thursday, or Thursday, January 6th, and another 3,800 pounds from Horn Island. Now, remember Plaquemines Parish President Billy Nungesser? Remember him? Big, heavyset dude who was on television all the time during the eruption. He tells Dar Jamail and Erica Blumenfeld, quote, "This is the biggest cover-up in the history of America." He told reporters on a boat trip that he took with Coast Guard and National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration officials last week the same thing. Mr. Nungesser was enraged by finding vast areas of Louisiana marsh soiled with oil while no protective boom or cleanup workers with it were within sight. Now, I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about last year. Remember, when was it? Was it last year, the year before? How long ago was it? Was it last summer, last fall, spring, winter? Anybody remember? Gosh, that's so long ago. He said to the federal officials that were on this boat, Coast Guard, NOAA, he said, "It's like you're in bed with BP. You cover up for BP." Now, BP's stock price continues to go up, of course. Why not? They're an oil company. They can do any goddamn thing they want to do. But while the stock price continues to go up, the Coast Guard, NOAA, the Food and Drug Administration, EPA, all continue to go to great lengths to convince the public, particularly those living along the coast, that the air and the water and the beach and the seafood are perfectly safe. No problem. Have you seen some of the commercials from the big casinos along Haley Barber's little fiefdom, Mississippi Gulf Coast, the gambling areas? Have you seen those commercials? Woo! Lord have mercy! Just acres of white people just bounce around in the sparkly, foamy surf on those beautiful white sand beaches. Man, with the colorful beach umbrellas up and the clamshells, you know, those things you get under to get out of the sun, and everybody having a good time. And then when the sun goes down, you see the lights out there on the water, people in the casinos just gambling, having a great time. When did they shoot those commercials? Where did they shoot them? Were those commercials shot in the Mississippi Gulf Coast? When, last week? 6 months ago, 5 years ago, or were they shot someplace else? Maybe Hawaii, the beaches of Cozumel. Where were they shot? Come on down and gamble a little bit. Come on down, get in the water. Yes, sir. Come down, eat some of our seafood down here. Yeah, you're gonna love them. Never mind that funky, that taste. Don't worry about it. Black of Mines Parish President Billy Nungesser. This is the biggest cover-up in the history of America. Denise Rednauer of Long Beach, Mississippi, has been suffering symptoms of toxic chemical exposure for months. She talked with Dar and Erica. She said, quote, I have pain in my stomach, stabbing pains. Now I have a bruising rash all around my stomach. I've had shingles before, but that was like a rash. This looks like bleeding under the skin. The sharp stabbing pain is all over my abdomen where this discoloration is. It's in my armpits and around my breasts. I have this dry hacking cough. My sinuses are swelling up. Not snotty nose or congestion, but the inside of my nose is swelling to where it's almost closed. I also have an insatiable thirst. This has been going on almost constantly for about 2 months. It's never gone away entirely. Sometimes I feel a little better, but it's always with me. End quote. She recently had her blood tested for chemicals that are present in BP's crude oil and dispersants. Her blood was loaded with them. She told Dar on January 9th, quote, I tested very high for most of the chemicals. I'm still having my symptoms and I'm not feeling better. I'm feeling worse, in fact. The chemicals in her blood include benzene, ethylbenzene, hexane, 2-3-methylpentane, MP-xylene. Ethylbenzene is a form of benzene present in the body when it begins to break down. It is also present in BP's crude oil. MP xylene is a clear, colorless, flammable liquid that is refined from crude oil and used as a solvent. Ethylbenzene, MP xylene, and hexane correlate to the volatile chemicals, organic chemicals in the BP crude oil. But everything's okay. Come on down and gamble. Come on down here in Mississippi. Come on down here to South Alabama. I'm gonna tell you a story. We're all having fun down here on the bayou. Come on down. Come on down. Spend your money. More when we come back.
truth seekers gather round the campfire. It's More Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. By the way, this hour is sponsored by SiteZero.org. S-I-T-E, SiteZero.org. If you haven't been there, you need to check it out. The Republican 2012 ad or AD? What is that, Kathy? Are the stories at SiteZero.org getting more horrifying? Definitely. SiteZero.org. Tell a friend. The sponsor is anonymous, but it's about SiteZero. SiteZero.org. Check it out. SiteZero.org. And read a little bit before you decide what the hell it is you're reading. Back to the U.S. Mississippi Gulf Coast, not just Mississippi Gulf Coast, but also Louisiana, Alabama, Florida. Dard Shamail and Erica Blumenfeld at truthout.org have this report. The title is "We're Poisoned, We're Sick." You can find it very quickly at truthout.org. But in talking with residents along the Mississippi Gulf Coast, they get some firsthand what's referred to as anecdotal information, but also the chemistry. The horrible chemistry is there too. Getting back to what Dar and Erica have written, independent blood testing by environmental groups and independent scientists along the Gulf is finding exceedingly high concentrations of the chemicals, benzene, ethylbenzene, hexane, 2 and 3 methylpentane, MP xylene, solvents, volatile organic chemicals, poison. High concentrations of these chemicals in people's veins, people who live near the coast, former BP cleanup workers, and even one man who lives 100 miles from the coast. Everyone is testing positive with BP's toxic chemicals in their bloodstream. Now, what do right-wingers want? Let me digress from the article. Right-wingers, of course, these neocons, the conservatives, the pigs, the cockroaches, the people devouring and destroying the country. They don't want it. Well, what's the problem? You know, we provide jobs down there, right? Oil companies, good. Environmental information like this, bad. Bad, 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 bad. No rules, no regulations. No oversight. No federal regulations, nothing. Just get out the way, boy. Let us get this hole out of here. Many of the chemicals present in the oil and the dispersants are known to cause headaches, nausea, vomiting, altered renal functions, problems in the digestive tract, lung damage, burning pain in nose and throat, coughing, pulmonary edema, cancer, lack of muscle coordination, dizziness, confusion, irritation of the skin, and the eyes, and the nose, and the throat. Difficulty breathing, delayed reaction time, memory difficulties, stomach discomfort, liver and kidney damage, unconsciousness, tiredness, lethargy, upper respiratory tract irritation, hematological disorders. Gosh, that's a long list. Now, of course, the BP executives don't live on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, do they? The capitalist pigs that continue to do this, they don't live there. Oh, man, Gibbon, what are you talking about? We provide jobs, Malloy. We're giving those people jobs. We're killing them, but to hell with them. They don't count. It's collateral damage. You sons of bitches in America like to drive your cars, don't you? Like be able to turn on your lights, don't you? So quit your bitching. People get sick. People die. People have ethylbenzene in their bloodstreams and hexane and all kinds of stuff. corrects it, and oil byproducts, and that's just the way it goes. If those folk don't like it, let them move to Nebraska. Ain't no Gulf Coast there. So the corporate thugs really don't care. The capitalists don't care. People are sick. People are dying. People are being poisoned. Hey, they set up a compensation fund, right? How much is in that compensation fund? A couple billion? Wasn't a couple billion? $20 billion? What the hell do these people want? What do these cracker-ass freaks who live along Mississippi Gulf Coast want? What do they want? Quit your bitching. There's money in the bank for you. Here's $5,000. Get out of my face. More on this when we come back.
Someone told me long ago, there's a calm before the storm. I know it's been coming for some time. When it's over, so they say, it'll rain a sunny day. I know, shine.
Redefining anger management. It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by an anonymous contributor who suggests we go to Site Zero, S-I-T-E-Z-E-R-O, sitezero.org, and check out what you see when you get there. It may take a couple of minutes for you to figure out what it is you've got, but once you're there, I think you're going to find it challenging. Sitezero.org. Tell a friend. All right. Back to the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Dar Jamail and Erica Blumenfeld, investigative reporters for Truth Out, writing about the residents that were exposed, the residents and the workers and people along the Gulf Coast, U.S. Gulf Coast, who were exposed to the BP eruption brought about by Dick Cheney's company, old company, right? Remember a few months back when a list of companies being investigated was released, and Halliburton, or was it Kellogg Brown and Root? Doesn't make any difference. They're all the same. Was obviously left off the list, even though they are the ones that are probably primarily responsible. Of course, we'll never know because the report is going to take time to be written, you see. And the real report will never come out. But in the meantime, people along the Mississippi Gulf Coast are dying, getting sick. Denise, one of the people who was exposed to all this stuff, Denise Rednauer, Long Beach, Mississippi, talked to Dar and Erica. She says, we're poisoned. We're sick. We've lost our livelihoods. We have nothing to look forward to. We're destitute and depressed. I think everybody is walking around with PTSD, and the devastation continues in the Gulf. Yesterday I was at the beach, and the chemical smell would knock you over. There was oil sheen everywhere, tar balls, crews walking the beach, picking up buckets full of them. End quote. George Parker, a commercial fisherman in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, wrote to Dar Jamail, quote, Dar, I wish to express our thanks to you for keeping this in the public eye. Since the alleged end of the Deepwater Horizon fiasco, the all clear was pronounced and the truth is slipping away and the public is being put to sleep again. The all clear, quote, quote, has been sounded Yet they may as well be the emperor's new clothes, because something is very wrong here. Something horrible is happening. And I fear for those on the coast, but also those that consume what may very well be what Agent Orange was to Vietnam. Corexit is to America. Intuitively, I fear we are unleashing a monster. End quote. So Dar Jamail and George Parker exchanged emails, and it became clear that the FDA and the NOAA were pushing to open Gulf waters to fishing, despite inadequate sampling and testing of the seafood. So then George Parker, commercial fisherman, Ocean Springs, Mississippi, wrote this, quote, "As a commercial fisherman, by conscience, I voluntarily left the North Atlantic, as well as Alaskan waters, because of the overfishing and pollution of the crab, cod, and scallop industries. Back home here on the Gulf Coast waters, I have seen firsthand too many times the impact of government that concerns itself only with the value of tax revenues derived from industries that are known health risks. Seafood is one of them. For decades, seafood has been unsafe for human consumption throughout the North Atlantic, the Atlantic seaboard, and especially the Chesapeake Bay areas due to heavy metals, pesticides, sewage, agricultural runoff. Yet, with this in mind, the bureaucracies that regulate these have almost always only concerned themselves with economics, concerned that layoffs and lost revenue seem to almost always dictate the choices that the so-called servants of the people follow. Money first, and foremost, health concerns last. This applies to the consumer as well. If it isn't dead in your face, then perhaps what's the big deal? So your kids have two heads. Well, you can't blame us because the government said it's safe. Years down the road, this mentality lends a great deal to the harm, or to the term, plausible deniability. Someone with big clout that extends not only into the federal government, but into local administrations, to the point that it is most difficult to get any of our local officials, or news agencies for that matter, to comment on these alarming reports that so many people are ill and remain ill and have the very same symptoms. Nevertheless, what do you hear from local, state, and federal government? The all clear was sounded. Seafood's safe. Let's promote our tourism and fishing industries to keep up our tax revenues. The song has been sung way too many times. So thanks, Dar, for your caring. Thanks for keeping this story alive. We are with you. We're broke and sick, but we're with you nonetheless. End quote. While the ecology, biology, and humanity that call the area of the Gulf of Mexico their home continue to suffer and die, the administrator of BP's $20 billion compensation fund, Kenneth Feinberg, said on December 31st that he anticipates half that amount will be sufficient to cover claims for economic losses. Feinberg is being paid by BP to administer the fund. It just never stops, does it? Dar Jamail and Erica Blumenfeld writing at truthout.org about the ongoing crisis and sickness and illness and death and destruction on the U.S. Gulf Coast. But hey, come on down, gamble. Look here, look here. Look at these old white beaches and that beautiful blue water over there. Where'd they get those pictures? When were those pictures taken? Those videos, all the happy white people cavorting. As a matter of fact, I think they even have some black people cavorting now, too, right? White people, black people. So far, I haven't seen any Asian people or Hispanic people or Middle Eastern people cavorting. Of course, I guess it's difficult if you're a religious fanatic to be cavorting in the sea, right? Especially if your religion dictates a certain mode and style of dress, huh? Yeah? No? Yes? Come on down. We'd love to have you. Come on down here and eat some of these old crabs and some of these old shrimps. Don't pay attention how they look, how they smell. Come on down. Eat some of this stuff. Hot damn, we want you to come on down here. Come on down Mississippi Bayou. It's great. Woo! We got all kinds of stuff down here. Come on down and gamble. Hell, just walking on the beach, you're gambling. You didn't know that? Y'all are. You're gambling. If you drink our water, eat our food, you're gambling. You're damn right gambling. Yeah, you're gambling. But see, this is what capitalism does. For all you people say, well, goddamn Lloyd's a socialist, you bet your ass. A democratic. Got to make that not a totalitarian socialist. Oh, hell no. I'd put them up against the wall, too. Democratic. Small d, democratic. But this is what capitalism does. This is what it has always done. The reality is the environment, whether it's the human environment or the natural environment, not to separate the two, but you know what I mean, has always been big enough to absorb all this. Or nobody paid attention. Or, you know, why do people keep getting cancer? Oh, my God, it just why is colon cancer and breast cancer and stomach cancer and pancreatic cancer? And I mean, just keep going. Liver cancer, lung cancer, every single organ in your body is subject to cancer. And the rates keep going up and millions are spent in the cancer industry. Why? Why? What is it? Is it the toxic industrial pollution? You want to have some fun in a very macabre, dark, scary, creepy, well, that's not fun, Mike, kind of way? Go to one. You see them all over the place, at least in the Atlanta area. You see them, these independent labs. We'll test anything. You bring it in, we'll test it. You know, your body fluids. Go in there and have a sample of your blood and a sample of your urine taken. Just do it. What's it going to cost? What the hell? Do it. And tell them you want a profile of what industrial chemicals might be in your system. Go ahead and do it and see what comes back. And while you're at it, if there's any woman in your family or your extended family or a friend who happens to be lactating because she is feeding a newborn infant, let them test her breast milk, too. But this is what capitalism does. They don't give a goddamn. What are you talking about? Come on, man. We got to make money. We got to have these beautiful cars. We got to make sure that Rush Limbaugh can drive one of them great big old million-dollar cars and that everybody has, not everybody, of course, us one percenters, us people up here at the top of the heap, at the top of this pile of meat. We real rich ones. This is what we want. This is what we deserve. You people down there in the slumgullion, you're collateral damage.
Even Bob Geldof looks alarmingly thin. I got to get on that shuttle, get me out of this place. But there's gonna be warfare up there in outer space. It's been a hard day on the planet. How much is it all worth? It's getting harder to understand it. Things are tough all over on Earth.
Before the hour. The hour has been sponsored by SiteZero.org. S-I-T-E Zero.org. SiteZero.org. Go there. Tell a friend. You're going to be surprised. Got an email from a listener in Sweden. Scott in Sweden. Mike, the news out of the U.S. is stunningly bad. The forces of greed smell blood in the water, and it's clear as hell that Obama's not man enough to fight them. Hell, it's increasingly obvious that he defected. I suspected as much when about his second week in office, he joked about how cool it was to have his own private helicopter. Remember when they said he was emulating Abe Lincoln and surrounding himself with his enemies to keep them close to the vest, to keep an eye on them? A few months later, he's reading all about Ronald Reagan. Last summer, Fox News gave a gazillion dollars to the Republican governor's slush fund, and now that slush has hit the fan. It's now a steady state-by-state whack-a-mole problem as the greedy bastards have passed more tax cuts for the rich than use the resultant state budget crisis to demand benefit cutbacks to the poor. Ah, yes, my little chickadee, the old bait and switch. Carl Buttboy Rove came right out and admitted on television, Fox, of course, that the whole purpose was to crush unions so that there would be a lot less union money to finance Democratic campaigns. Ah, yes, the old bait and switch. But what I really find astonishing, Scott writes, is how little coverage this coup is getting in the European press. It is as if our European Union media watch puppies are sent to the U.S. and they plonk themselves starstruck down amongst their mainstream uber-salaried media U.S. colleagues, go to the same evening soirees, hobnob with the same loyal lobbyists, and spend no more than an hour a day loosely translating bland U.S. domestic media journalism, sending it home, all the while having another hair of the dog to recover from the night before, and getting dressed up for the next night of merrymaking. Woohoo! I don't know how many times I have contacted Swedish journalists to try to bring them up to speed with information such as that you or Bob Kincaid present, and the entire liberal so-called blogosphere, providing links and all, only to be told, if they answer at all, that I am providing highly prejudiced information, not at all objective, don't you see? Evidently, European media watch puppies are exactly like American ones. If it doesn't come from the U.S. corporate press, it is not truth. I try to point out to them that the U.S. media is highly corporately subsidized by the corporations, and they tell me not to listen to conspiracy theories. This last year or so, I've been evidently blocked from incoming email lists. You expressed shock, Mike, that Wisconsin, of all places, has become such a haven of right-wing dip-blankery. And I hear you. What worries me is that Sweden and the rest of Scandinavia may drift that way, too, in the same way as secondary smoke from a chain smoker causes cancer. While we don't have the Murdoch organization, the mentholated news reaching us is certainly being filtered nonetheless via the U.S. mainstream media. We are sleepwalking here. While we have a welfare state that puts Americans to shame, there is little awareness of the contagion coming out of the West. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Remember appeasement? Do I hear a whirling sound emitting from Winston Churchill's grave? If it is, it is well muffled by an abundance of neo-Neville Chamberlains here, unwilling to look to the West and ask about the stench. Real insight seems to have a shelf life limited to three generations. Once great-grandpa and his codgers and their colleagues are gone, right-wing human stupidity once more crawls out of the Black Lagoon. But then, with so many European Union watch puppies pretending to be big dogs, it's not like news travels fast or well. While we do get pretty good reports here about the Mideast, all we get from the Midwest are the same breathless stories about the Tea Party uprising as you are served from the same platter. How strange that in the age of Orwell, there doesn't seem to be enough George Orwell sending dispatches home. Come to think of it, there weren't enough George Orwells in 1933. Best wishes from your fellow Northwest Ohio refugee, Scott, even though I washed up further ashore than you did, no place is safe once our great-grandpas are gone. It looks like time has returned for another generation to soon go through their shell shock and maybe learn a thing or two for a while. 1812, 1914, 2016, is that a natural cycle? Scott. In Ekberga, Sweden. Ekberga, is that how you say it, Scott? Ekberga, Sweden. Well. What are we going to do tomorrow night? What are we doing Friday night show? Kathy? Is there any way we can not do these kinds of stories? Is there anything? Let me think. I guess not. I guess this is kind of it, right? Oh, well. Oh, listen, if you want to see the program stay on the air, go to MikeMalloy.com and become a podcast subscriber. All the information's right there. Cost you 25 cents a program. Okay? That's my intense pitch for tonight. Go to MikeMalloy.com and subscribe to the podcast, because if you don't, the program is going to disappear. It's that simple. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.